Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are still tracking the developing story. O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76, according to his family. That was posted on his official Twitter or X account by family members, and it has since been picked up and reported by many, many multiple media outlets, including ESPN, ABC News, as well as us here at Odyssey in Buffalo. You can find more on our website shortly at WGR550.com. WBEN is on the story as well. Obviously, a huge, huge national story about O.J. Simpson passing away, but even more so, I would say, here in Buffalo because of the impact he had here in Buffalo playing for the Buffalo Bills and being notable here in Buffalo for his playing career, even before what happened with Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman and the Bronco chase and the subsequent acquittal and all the things that we talk about with O.J. Simpson. So we'll have more of that, like I said, throughout the day. I'm sure that you're going to be reading about it and hearing about it, but a significant day here, no doubt. And Joe, it is this year is the 30th anniversary year of the White Bronco chase with O.J. Simpson, actually.
I can guarantee you I will be taking some time out. Maybe probably not this weekend because it is Masters Week, but in the next little bit on the O.J. Made in America documentary.
Yes.
It was, what was it, 5 parts that ESPN it's 30 for 30 did, and it was incredible.
Fascinating. Yes, yeah. Really is. It really is. So we'll stay on top of that today, and like I said, WBEN will have more coverage as well on the passing of O.J. Simpson. In the meantime, let's head out to the West Her Hotline right now, where Eric Henry is going to join us. Now, Eric is a Texas Longhorns beat writer for Horns 247 and at CBS Sports as well. And, of course, they have a couple of really, really interesting wide receivers, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Maybe one or even both of them could wind up in Buffalo Bills uniforms in a couple of weeks. The NFL draft is 2 weeks from tonight. Eric, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys, not a problem. Definitely kind of a odd day to be joining you guys, but I'm more than happy to hop on and talk a little Texas football, specifically Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell.
No doubt. And it is. It's a day, obviously, that's going to be dominated, I think, by a lot of the OJ discussion, you know, online and on radio. And here in Buffalo, obviously, he played for the Buffalo Bills. So that'll be a discussion here in Buffalo. But in the meantime, we do have the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks, and want to get your thoughts on a couple of guys you've watched up close and personal, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. First question for you. How do you exactly pronounce A.D. Mitchell's actual name?
Oh, man, I love that you asked that. I think you might have been one of the first people to actually ask instead of just going at it full-throated. It's Adonai. So just Adonai. Adonai Mitchell.
So it is three syllables, though. It's not two, Adonai. It's Adonai.
Correct. Correct.
All right. Okay. Adonai Mitchell. Do you call him A.D. or do you call him Adonai?
You know what? He actually has no preference. I was calling him A.D. up until the point when I think – really around, I'd say, the later stages of the season, when it's like, all right, you know, Adonai really isn't that hard. We'll just give him his given name. So I've been calling him Adonai as of late.
Okay, well, we'll kind of go back and forth here while we talk with him for sure. Go ahead, Joe.
And Xavier Worthy, I'm sure. We're pronouncing that correct? That one's a little easier.
Yes, that is he. And right. Well, it's funny enough, some people call him Xavier, but it is Xavier, but you got it.
Xavier.
Okay,
right.
You got it. Do you call him X? People, sometimes when your name's Xavier, you call a guy X.
Yes, the only person who doesn't call him X is Steve Sarkisian.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think, are you guys in spring practices right now in Texas? Are you covering that?
Yes. I'm taking this from the car because Steve Sarkisian has his biweekly press conference. Actually, the third one this week. Heading over to the facility for 11 o'clock presser.
Well, let's talk about a couple of these guys, and I appreciate you doing that, then, because I know you're very busy this week in covering spring practices. Let's start with A.D. Adonai Mitchell. You know, obviously, these are guys that are both very talented, but you can kind of talk about the differences in them. But let's just start with him. What traits does he bring that are going to translate well to the NFL game?
Yeah, the big thing with Adonai that I really like about him, and I've seen some of the projections kind of, you know, talk about the fact that he didn't produce. And just in terms of the sheer volume of production that maybe some guys like Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, listen, it's not an apples to apples comparison. You're talking about a guy who spent his first few seasons at Georgia, won back to back national titles, was part of an offense that had several weapons. But just in terms of his playing style, one of the big things that I like about him, bigger guy, 6'3", 6'4", 205 pounds, very fluid, smooth route runner. And the way he tracks the ball in the air, for any Bill fans, this highlight is readily available on YouTube. I would recommend watching the TCU game. There was a throw as Texas was kind of, they had given up a big lead and were trying to eventually just ice the game and keep TCU from coming back. And A.D. Mitchell makes an adjustment on a ball from Quinn Ewers, who it was Quinn's first game back from an AC joint sprain, so he certainly wasn't 100%. But is a third down play, and Sark, being, you know, typically an aggressive guy that he's on third down, could have run the ball and maybe seen what happened, but he chooses to throw, makes a hell of an adjustment on the ball that's behind him, over his opposite shoulder, falling to the ground to catch the ball. That's the type of catch radius, just ability to track the football, that I think, in my mind, is in terms of just next level projection, is one of AD's or Adonai's best traits.
Why did he transfer from Georgia?
Yeah, the reason he transferred, and he hasn't vocalized this outright, but AD has a young child and he's from the Texas area. So it was really to get closer back to, you know, his young child and to be closer to family.
What does he do that might not translate as well? What are the questions about Mitchell that you've at least seen prop up, or maybe that you have yourself about after you've watched him play, about him going to the NFL?
Okay, if we're going to really get into the quote-unquote lack of volume production, I can appreciate that because, I mean, sure, there is something to be said about a guy, again, we'll use a Romo Dunze, a Malik Nabers, a Marvin Harrison Jr., who you have – 2 or 3 years of 1,000-yard seasons and high-volume receptions. But I also think, in my mind, guys, it depends on what you're asking him to be. And quite frankly, this is applicable to Xavier Worthy as well. If you're asking him, if you're taking a receiver in the top 5, top 10, you're probably asking that guy to come in and be a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, right? Step in and be that number one guy immediately. But if you're taking someone in, you know, the 20s or 30s, in my mind, I think you're with a better team, and you're probably asking them. Now, of course, this may not be applicable to Buffalo. We all know their situation with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis as well, right? Maybe you're asking whoever you draft to step in and be more of an impact player. But with X and with Adonai, I think any concerns you have about quote-unquote lack of volume production should really be alleviated if you're sticking that guy in and asking him to be a number two and then kind of seeing where his progression goes.
What about in terms of like some of the effort stuff with Mitchell, and maybe beyond that? You know, there's been, I've seen concerns about his blocking, and he even said at the combine that he doesn't often run routes at full speed, which I think he had a somewhat reasonable approach or explanation for that. But in terms of, like, I don't know, if he's built for the regimented schedule of the NFL and the responsibilities of becoming a pro, like, is that noise right now to you? Is that real? Like, what would your response be to a lot of that kind of stuff?
I'll start with the blocking first. I find that interesting. I'd have to go back and see specifically what question was asked to Adnai and what his response was. Because I'll say this, and just to be blunt with you guys, of all the non-linemen on Texas's offense in terms of blocking, the liability wasn't A.D. Mitchell or even Xavier Worthy. In terms of those guys gave effort, if you really want to look at the liability, it was Jatavion J.T. Sanders. I mean, that was the guy at tight end who, quite frankly, you know, left a lot to be desired in terms of being a blocker, right? So I'd actually be interested in learning kind of more about what he said specifically. But in terms of the route running, I think part of that is just a byproduct of this offense. I mean, at times, I'll say this again, you know, for Bills fans, and I'm sure these games are available on YouTube. There was a two-game stretch. It was the Kansas State game and, gosh, the Kansas State and BYU game were the games that Quinn Ewers was injured and Malik Murphy stepped in at quarterback. And Malik, for whatever reason, Malik and Adnai had a certain connection. I'd go back and watch those games and see his effort and his route running there, because I think this is just my feel in terms of my recollection of last year. When you know that you're the number one guy and, quite frankly, the play calls are catered to you, because Malik Murphy did not have a connection with Xavier Worthy. For whatever reason, they could not get on the same page. And Steve Sarkisian was as open as you expect a head coach to be, right? You know, he didn't quite come out and say it, but he kind of hinted and intimated at the fact that, hey, this offense, for whatever reason, Adnai and Malik Murphy have more of a connection. We're going to shift some of the play calling towards AD. And you saw aggressive route running. Quite frankly, I maybe not the most polished route runner, but a guy who had no issues getting open.
It says, I know I'm looking at his numbers here. I mean, obviously, we know he's fast, 4.34 40 at the combine. But I'm wondering about his rack ability. The Bills have talked a lot about rack this offseason. They want guys who, because what's happening is, as you know, Eric, you know, teams now, defenses in the NFL are playing a lot more split safeties, high safeties. They're just putting a shell above the top. They're not allowing guys like Josh Allen to throw over the top. So you got to do something underneath with the ball in your hands. So what is his ability with the ball in his hands?
Yeah, I would say we didn't see much of that last year. I mean, AD's a guy, again, as you talked about, right? The speed is certainly there. If we're talking about run after catch, the guy was certainly Xavier Worthy in this offense. Again, I think part of that is a byproduct of the play calling. Steve Sarkisian, I asked him this question entering last season because Quinn Ewers wasn't one of the top deep ball throwers in the nation, despite the fact that he has, you know, two guys running what, sub 4.4, 4.3 times, right? And Sark said, hey, you know, essentially the gain is the same thing. If we get the ball next to his hands and he takes it, you know, for a 3-yard pattern, he takes it 40 yards, we're accomplishing the same thing. So quite frankly, I think some of the play calls where you may have seen AD run decoy routes, or quite frankly, even another guy like Jordan Whittington, someone who will be fighting for a roster spot as, you know, maybe a late round pick or undrafted free agent, were much more in terms of rack ability. Those guys were more targets in this offense.
All right, let's talk about Worthy. 4.2140 breaks the record. I mean, obviously, the blazing speed is there. The question is maybe about his frame, right? 5'11", 165. Now, look, Devontae Smith did quite well, you know, and there was a lot of questions about him coming out of Alabama, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. But what kind of questions do you have about that translating to the NFL?
The size thing, I take a deep sigh only because Xavier Worthy has played, and like you said about Devontae Smith, it's not like these guys haven't played at that size their entire career, and Xavier Worthy has never shown an inability to, you know, to get open or create separation. To be honest with you, the biggest question mark that I have, or question marks that I would have about Xavier Worthy, are his sophomore season. And granted, I wasn't covering the team in 2022, but from people who are around the team in 2022, his effort was, or I should say his how engaged he was, definitely at times. And he even came out and said it entering last year, that he had to really recommit himself in terms mentally and just effort-wise into the game of football. Now, he did have a broken hand, and that certainly played a factor, or you would assume it'd play a factor for a receiver. But that's the thing that I have, is just kind of getting that consistent 100% guy who is engaged, bought into what you are trying to accomplish as a program, or in this case, as an organization. That'd be the first thing. The second thing is, and this is kind of, again, iffy, I think Xavier Worthy is an efficient route runner in terms of the route tree. I think he does enough and provides enough, but there are some people, you know, amongst the pro ranks I've spoken to, who said that that is a question mark. I'm interested to see kind of, you know, and guys, is it, I'll use the Randy Moss factor, right? Randy Moss had a quote where it's like, yeah, you know, one of the knocks on him was the route tree. Well, what does the route tree matter if you're just smoking everybody, right? Like that certainly plays a factor, but those would be the two things in terms of Xavier Worthy in my mind that come to, in terms of, you know, question marks.
Do you think he has the size or the physicality that he could, well, or maybe does it matter that he could become kind of a high volume target guy in the league? Like, the Bills need a role right away, but with Diggs gone, like, they're going to need someone to eat up a high volume of targets, especially long term. Like, I don't know, what do you think Worthy's peak is for that? Like, how many he can handle, or maybe there is no limit, even though he's so, you know, thin at least.
No, but listen, I'm glad you asked that question, because if you take a look at Xavier Worthy's numbers in 2022, and both Steve Sarkisian and Xavier Worthy will point to the broken hand, they're open about the fact that, hey, and I don't have the exact numbers on me, but it was something like 112, 115 targets to only get, you know what, 50-something, 60-something receptions, right? That's about 50, high 50s, low 60s percent in terms of targets versus receptions. This year, completely different. Steve Sarkisian said to us, hey, you know, this year we've been able to throw X 10, 11 balls, and he's getting 6, 7, 8, 9 catches, as opposed to last year, we have to kind of force feed 15, 16 passes his way to just get 6 or 7 receptions. So do I think that he can be a volume guy? If you'd asked me that question prior to this year, I would have said no. But I think this year really put a lot on film that you could say, hey, this is a guy who, if we use him correctly, right, we can throw him 13 passes, 14 passes. If he comes down with 8 or 9, obviously that's helping your offense's efficiency, and someone who can handle it. Now, the second part of that, if you're just asking me who do I think Xavier Worthy is in the NFL, I think he's a DeSean Jackson. And again, I don't have DeSean Jackson's numbers off the top of my head here, but I can remember certain years when he was a, what, you know, 50-catch guy, 60-catch guy for 1,100 yards. Maybe he's not a 100-catch guy or even an 85-catch guy, right? But if you get 60, 65 receptions and you're getting 16, 17, 18, 19 yards per reception, I think that's optimal usage of Xavier Worthy.
And you know what? I'm really glad you said that, because I'm looking here. I'm just looking at his stats. He did do some punt returning, and that's really important right now with the new rules. We just saw Deontay Hardy sign with the Ravens yesterday. He was the Bills' return man last year, had that big return against the Dolphins in Week 18. We saw the Steelers go out right away and get Cordarrelle Patterson after the owners' meetings. They changed that rule. So as a return man, it looks like Worthy can do that. What about Mitchell? Can they both do that? Is it just Worthy's game, and how good is he at that?
No, I don't believe that AD has, quite frankly, ever done any punt return. It's racking my brain here. Even in the depth chart, I don't remember AD even being like the fourth or fifth emergency guy. But Xavier Worthy, undoubtedly. And quite frankly, I'd like to see X even as a kick returner. I think, again, if you're going to draft him in the 20s and you want to get optimal value, get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. But especially in the punt return game, again, racking my brain here, which one was it he took one to the house? I think it was TCU, if memory serves me correct, but a very, very dangerous punt returner.
I'm looking right now. I'm going to look at his game logs. I'm going to test you on that, because it sounds like you're right. You know your stuff. So I'm going to say TCU is probably exactly what it was, but we'll find that out. I do want to ask you before we let you go, Tavondre Sweat obviously gets in some legal trouble here. What are you hearing about how that might, you know, impact? What do you think about that impacting his draft status? And we've seen these kinds of things happen before, but, you know, where he is and maybe what is going to be thought about him heading into the next 2 weeks.
It's a really tough situation for T Sweat, because you're talking about someone who, for all intents and purposes, had done everything right leading up to the draft as far as answering the questions. His weight, he came in at a weight that, quite frankly, was about what you would expect. There were some people who were guessing that he could have come in the 380s, 390s, came in right around his playing weight. you know, did everything right there. Before I was covering the program, but there were some people around the team who said that Sweat was a bit of a, you know, party animal, a guy who liked to be out on Sixth Street. You know, he answered those questions. It was seemingly very upfront about those things with scouts. And listen, that man was focused and dedicated and everything you could have asked for from a player last year in our interactions with him. So this is really a setback in my mind. And this is just my belief, guys. You can call me a softy, but I've been around, I've covered college football for 8-9 years now. I still remember these are 17 to 24 year old kids. And at times when you're around them as close as we are, they do dumb things. The good thing is that this incident did not harm anybody. Cause obviously when you get behind the wheel of a car and you're intoxicated, we know what can happen there. But yeah, it's definitely something that I think is a knock on him, and we'll see. I think it's going to affect him. How much? I think, you know, that remains to be seen.
You have another one on Sweat, Sal?
No, go ahead.
On running back Jonathan Brooks.
Yes. There's one there, too.
What do you know about his timeline? Because I'm very into dynasty fantasy football and just tracking running backs throughout the college season. Like, most people had him as, oh, this is going to be the first running back you pick in the spring. Then he tears the ACL. So, I don't know. Like, what do you know about timeline and, like, how long or how much that could impact him, but also just how long he might be out?
I promise, guys, I did cover the entire season and not just the TCU game. However, it was the TCU game that Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL. So, I think that was late October, early November, right? So, I mean, you take a look at the timeline in today's day and age. I would expect him, and everything that we've heard is that he can be at least ready to kind of start getting back into you know, real football things by the time a training camp would open in August. Is he going to be ready opening day? I think that's certainly a stretch, right? But certainly someone who, listen, and you talked about it in your question, he was, and in my mind is, still the RB1 in this draft, and I'm not going to let that ACL deter me from getting someone of his capabilities.
It was BYU, by the way, that had the punt return. BYU. But hey, look, what's a BYU versus TCU amongst friends, right? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Before I let you go, Eric, and Eric Henry, by the way, very kind to join us here in Texas, going to have their spring practice, and Steve Sarkisian is going to speak, so he's got to go. Some college basketball news. Apparently, Scott Drew is staying at Baylor, not too far down the road from you, instead of taking the Kentucky job. What do you think about that?
No, I said, oh, wow, because I hadn't checked on it since early this morning I woke up. And I thought, sure, he would take that Kentucky job. I mean, here's what I'll say. I covered a game at the new Baylor facility this year, and that is one of the top college basketball environments. It's not to say that, you know, Rupp Arena is certainly legendary, but I'm only saying this to say I think they're really – and you can't even say building something because they've won a national championship, but they have something special there 90 minutes up the road in Waco. But this isn't a guy who had been at Baylor for 4 or 5 years. He's been there nearly 2 decades. So I guess in my mind, that's always a little surprise that, you know, he's achieved the pinnacle you can at Baylor. It's been a national championship. So definitely a little surprise that he didn't, you know, test the waters. But that's interesting.
You know what a name? Joe, you're going to love this or you're going to hate it. I don't know. Here's the name. Our colleague Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh is reporting that a name on the short list might be Sean Miller to Kentucky. What a fit that would be, guys.
Sean Miller. Is he not under an FBI probe anymore? It must be over.
Oh, my gosh. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have a lot to get to today. We really appreciate it. And who knows? Maybe the Bills will land one of these Texas guys or somebody else from the University of Texas, and we'll hit you up again after the draft, man.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, you got it. That is Eric Henry. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at @EricCHenry_. He is a Texas Longhorns beat reporter for Horns 24/7 and CBS Sports.
So
Sean Miller. I mean, that's what Filippone's tweeting.
I mean, it's incredible. Where is he, Xavier, right now? The two betting favorites to be the next Kentucky coach after Coach Cal left were Sean Drew and or Scott Drew, right? Nate Oates. And they've both now basically said, I'm not taking the Kentucky.
Has Nate Oates said that? Now, I hadn't seen that.
He sent a tweet out. There was speculation. I think Paul Feinbaum even connected Oates to the Kentucky job. It was at least being talked about. And Oates put out a statement, I'm trying to find it, that basically said, I'm staying at Alabama. I'm not taking
it. Okay, because as soon as the Calipari stuff was announced, I thought, oh, they're going to get Nate Oates. I did not know, and then someone told me, oh, no, he's got like over $10 million, like $18 million buyout or something, whatever.
He's a big buyout. Yeah, he's a big
buyout. Now, granted, Kentucky can pay that if they want. I mean,
yes.
You're right?
But, no, they can.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The statement he put out ended, there was a long paragraph about being committed to Alabama, and then the last sentence was, despite any rumors to the contrary, rest assured that I will continue that pursuit as your head coach, Roll Tide. And he had just signed an extension a couple of weeks ago. I think he's pretty much, it's as much as you can say to say I'm not taking the Kentucky job.
Calipari, in his introductory press conference, called Arkansas a blue blood program.
Oh, get out of here with the blue blood. Come on. No, there's too many. We found a list, right?
Yes.
Josh, did we get like eight down to eight teams?
Seven, actually.
Was Arkansas even mentioned?
No, they weren't even
in that list.
We had like a tier two, and they weren't even in the conversation.
Listen, Coach Cal, he's only even in Arkansas because he's got billionaire friends that are big boosters in Arkansas. Maybe that's how a lot of college sports works, but you didn't go to the Razorbacks because of the long storied history. They have a history. They were in the Elite Eight
like,
twice in the last 5 years, and I'm sure they have, beyond that history, but come on. It's not a blue blood. It's not even close to a blue blood.
I mean, they won a national title in 94. They had a great team. Nolan Richardson. I mean, that was it was fun watching them.
Yep.
But you're right. I mean, no, they're not. I don't consider them amongst the blue bloods of college basketball for sure. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here once again a little bit more on the O.J. Simpson news today. It is being reported and now apparently seems to be more confirmed by some media outlets that O.J. Simpson has passed away. So we'll talk about that. Sabres tonight. It is the final home game of the season downtown against the Washington Capitals. And, of course, the NFL draft 2 weeks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Away.
I think A.D. Mitchell definitely is that type that they don't have, that long, rangy receiver at about 6'2", 205 pounds. He runs 4.33 at the combine, which was much faster than a lot of people were guessing that he would run. But it shows up on tape with him. He's able to stretch the field vertically, but also he's really good in the short to intermediate areas as well. But one of my favorite stats about A.D. Mitchell is that 82% of his catches last year either went for a first down or a touchdown. Last time I checked, that's pretty good for a wide receiver if he's catching first downs and touchdowns all the time. So I definitely think he could be an asset in Buffalo's wide receiver group.
Jordan Reed on A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. Great stuff from Eric Henry. Covers the Texas Longhorns. Had him on just a little while ago. Check that out. WGR550.com, the Odyssey app as well. Joe, do you know what Grok is? Not Gronk. Grok? 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 How do you say it?
G-R-O-K? Is this the AI thing from Twitter?
Yes, it is. It's the AI thing from Twitter. It's a great way to say it. I see sometimes these stories under the Explore tab when I'm on Twitter. And I've clicked on a few of them to read. And you could tell that these are AI generated. Like, somebody did not write this, right?
Yeah.
I want to read to you what it says about Bo Byram being out of the Sabres lineup tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is from the AI Twitter machine. Here it is. In a significant turn of events, the Buffalo Sabres announced that defenseman Bowen Byram will not participate in their final home game of the season against the Washington Capitals due to a personal matter. This game holds special importance as it marks the last of the old scoreboard at the arena. The Sabres lineup...
That's amazing.
I know. The Sabres lineup will see Clegg replacing Byram for this crucial match. This development comes amidst other NHL teams, such as the Rangers and Islanders, preparing for their upcoming games with lineup adjustments and strategies in place.
That is incredible. That's incredible. The last game with the new scoreboard. Had anybody else thought of that? The last game with the new roof, too. Why stop there? The last game we're with the old roof. That roof's been up there since longer than the scoreboard, right? That roof's original, I think.
It is amazing.
Wow. Grok.
You got to check some of these things out, these stories, when they do it on this AI thing.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen before. I'm like, what? Who is writing this? And then, cause I didn't know originally, like when I first started following this and noticing it not long ago. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I realized, okay, that is not the way a normal human being would write. And it certainly wasn't. It's AI. It the game holds special importance as it marks the last for the old scoreboard at the arena.
When they got that scoreboard, it was like it was like awesome. Like we just the new owner, right? And the logo's on it, and it's just very outdated at this point. The one they're getting next year, though, if you've ever been to the Pittsburgh Arena, the I think it's PPG Paints Arena, maybe the scoreboard there. It's the new one for the Sabres is supposed to be almost identical to that Pittsburgh one. So it's not going to be like the massive, takes up the whole arena scoreboard that you have in like Tampa. But it's all LED. There's screens underneath too. Like, it's going to be a big upgrade from at least what I've seen.
Yeah, that's I was wondering about that. You know, what we're going to see, what it's going to be like. They've had these models, the renderings of them. And yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's going to be bigger. I went to Tampa last year when the Sabres won in overtime. The goal, who scored the goal? The defensive overtime last year. Thank you, Ilya Lyubushkin. And we were there. I was at that game in Tampa. And actually, it was super impressive, that scoreboard. Like, it was really big. You walk into that arena, and you're like, whoa, look at that thing. It kind of hits you right in the face, and you're looking at it. And once you see that, you're like, okay, this would be really cool to have, you know, in Buffalo. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the new scoreboard. What that will be in place next year, right? And the roof will be in place next year, too? Like, we know for sure both these things will be done before next season starts?
I believe so. Yeah, I think this offseason they're going to be doing the scoreboard and the roof. I don't think you would have announced, they would have announced it
right
without planning on doing it before next season. I just don't know how long that would take. How long does it take to replace a roof? It's got to be
right. That's
it's got to be open, right? It's got to be open the whole time, doesn't it? That wouldn't make sense. You're not taking the whole thing off and then putting a brand new one on. I don't know. Roofing. It's not roofing tiles up there. It's like a dome kind of thing. So I actually have no clue what that's going to be like. But looking at the statement from a couple of months ago, yeah, reads like they're going to be replacing it this summer.
I was thinking about that the other day. When I was in Brisbane, they're doing a lot of renovations and new buildings because of they're actually going to have the Summer Olympics there in 2032. And even though now is actually they're getting into their winter, that's flip flop. So I don't exactly know what dates, but they're having the Summer Olympics there in 2032 in Brisbane, and they're making they're doing new stadiums and upgrades to other stadiums and, you know, subways and stuff like that. You know, the transportation and things like that. So, when you see like all the work that goes into that, you think, wait a minute. And I thought about the new roof at the Sabres Arena, and yeah, I don't know. Are they gonna? I don't know how exactly how much you have to do. Like, if you take it off and replace it, is it just kind of cosmetic? Do we know a lot more about this yet? Like, do we have the full details and exactly what they're doing?
That, wait, sorry, that who's doing?
Like, the cosmetics or the full replacement, like, on the roof, the new Sabres Arena.
Yeah,
the roof on the Sabres Arena, like, exactly what's happening. Because, again, yeah, it just feels to me like you can't just do something like that in 3 months.
Right, sorry, I was reading the statement from a couple months ago that said that, and
yes,
they don't really provide any details other than that they're going to install a new one. So, yeah, I'm not really sure. I wonder what, will it look any different? Like, some of those arenas, I don't know, there's different colors they use. I mean, the college barns have, like, some of the wood up there that, like, you'll see in Harbor Center. I mean, that'd be a cool feature, right? Add some character to the building in any way you can. But, yeah, I don't see any details about exactly how they're going to actually install it or what it will look like, just that they're going to have a new one.
The Sabres take on the Washington Capitals tonight. It's the final home game of the season. I have not paid much attention lately to where the Rochester Americans are. Have you? Like, do you know, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's their situation?
So they're in pretty good standing right now. The AHL playoffs are pretty weird. So their site, though, the AHL.com, does a very good job. If you go to their standings, don't hit standings, hit playoff primer, and it's a good explanation of how it works, where you're at, what games you have left. And the Amerks are in the North Division. Five of the seven teams in the North Division make the postseason. The top three get a bye, or really the better way to put it is 4 and 5 have a play-in to get to the next round to play the number one seed. And the Amerks right now are in the number two spot, and they are only 1 point back of Syracuse for first in the division. So they might actually win the division with five games left. And if you're wondering about them falling into, like, a, let's call it a play-in spot, they are 5 points clear of that. So they're certainly headed to the postseason. They're probably not going to have to play in the first round, play-in, whatever you want to call it. And they're 1 point back of the division. So they're in good shape right now with a couple games left.
Do we expect anything? Like, there's got to be guys eligible that once this season's over, the Sabres will go down. That happens every year, right? Devin Levi will go right back. He'll go play in Rochester.
Levi's already back. So, and I think maybe he's even playing. I don't know.
Right.
I think some guys will go back. I'm still wondering, with the Sabres being eliminated, like, I know they are in a race 1 point back, but I guess they're just going to go the whole season without giving Jiří Kulík another game or Isaac Rosén another game in Buffalo.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking when I say that. What you're thinking is, well, they need them. They need them down there right now to push for the play. I mean, they're in the playoffs, but to make sure they're in the top three and to try to win the division. What I would say to that is, Lucas Rusek and Tyson Jost, like, they were doing perfectly fine. They were doing even well, helping the Amerks before. Those guys are here. You're taking two of their players regardless. It's up to you whether or not you want to take their veteran guys or whether you want to take their kids. So, I don't know. I would have liked to seen Rosén and Kulík here a little bit, and I don't think it would have hurt the Amerks all that much, because you would be returning two other players to them that have been high in their lineup. But, and they could still do that. There's three games left. You'd have to take them down to Florida to do that. But we're probably thinking that they're going to keep it as is, and then they'll return Rusek and maybe Jost, and if there's someone else I'm missing, maybe there's a defenseman. But they'll get a couple of guys back, yeah, for the playoffs.
Speaking of Florida, Don Granato has said that Bo Byram will rejoin the team in Florida for their last two games of the season. Let's go to Curtis before we go to a break. Curtis in Niagara Falls. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? What's going on?
Hey, thanks. I'm okay. Good, thanks.
When you guys are talking about, like, Gretzky's record and OV, I wanted to call in, you know, last night. I don't want to disturb you guys. They talk about hockey. Because you had said, like, when you were younger and sports came impressionable to you, you had your guy. And this is before I got the news. Well, the Juice was my guy. And when you guys talk about records, and last week you saw guys talking about that, and I wanted to call in, 143.1. That's the standard. That's what yards per game that he had in his 2,000-yard season. And the way they use running back now, that'll never be broken. And he also, that year, I believe, he had a 5.5 yards per carry. That probably won't be broken either. You know, and it's sad that he had to go through what he went through off the field. But while, like Paul was saying, he is the best running back I've ever seen. I didn't see Jim Brown play either. He is by far the best running back I've ever seen. You know, so I just want to say that. Love you guys' show. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Curtis. I don't know if you meant to say it that way, but it's not sad for me what he had to go through. He was not a victim in any way here. Obviously, what happened in life and what he did. And that's going to be the discourse and the discussion, what happens with OJ when people start talking about trying to put it into context, because you do have the greatness of him as a football player. And of course, you have the murders and the trial and everything that went on with it. And that's going to happen all day today, Joe. And that's what we're going to be reading about and how people are going to try to have to parse through all of this today. Or some people are going to be mad because of how people describe it. And I'm not mad at Curtis at all, but I think that that's just me pointing out when you talk about it, that's what we get tangled up in.
Yeah. There are people that are much more affected negatively than Bills fans for this. I want to say that on the forefront. The Goldmans, you know, any involved in the murders and the trials, Nicole Brown's family, obviously those people are affected more. But this can also be said, he robbed us of today. Today could have been a day, the day that O.J. Simpson passed away, to celebrate the arguably the greatest Buffalo Bill of all time. The greatest Buffalo Bills star of all time. Acting, right? The Naked Gun. Broadcasting. He robbed everyone of that. Today is more... It's complicated. And really, it's not even that complicated. Everyone knows what happened. It's not that complicated. But he robbed... Every Bills fan that grew up watching him and loving him, maybe the favorite player growing up, a hero to some kids watching the Bills in the 60s and 70s, he robbed every single one of them in the 90s. And today is today because of what happened 30 years ago.
Curtis brought up 143.1. He's right. 1973, the year that O.J. ran for 2,000 yards. Joe, 143 yards per game running. Jim Brown that same year, I'm sorry, 10 years before, Jim Brown, 133. But anyway, the point is that still stands, and he's right. That does still stand as the top ever yards per game rushing in a single NFL season. O.J. Simpson at 143.1. O.J. Simpson dies at the age of 76. We'll have more coverage on our website. WBN has it. National outlets are reporting it and have coverage about that as well today. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Extra Point Show to wrap up your Thursday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, your thoughts change on either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. Want either of those guys, Joe, after what we heard from Eric Henry?
I think they still terrify me. They still are the two guys both? I'm a little afraid of. Yeah, really? Yeah, both. Mitchell, just, I don't know. I'm buying into, I think, some of the route running stuff, the yards per route run stats. His comments at the combine are still just weird to me about never running full speed on your routes. So I don't know. I'd be a little afraid of that. Worthy, I think, is going to be a good pro. I just am not sure he fits exactly what the Bills need in a receiver right now. They need explosive plays, but I think they need someone that you have the hope can develop into a 100 to 30 to 50, 130 to 150 target guy.
Who's that? Who's that? Could be a lot of guys here.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I was listening to Chris and Steve yesterday on Troy Franklin and his thin frame as well, and they might not be able to hold up like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Diggs was some muscle, you know, freak. Like, you know, guys can get their targets. Worthy, though, and maybe even Franklin, too, are like extra small when it comes to that.
We will have more on our website about the passing of O.J. Simpson. I'm sure that will be talked about today. Sabres live up next. Sabres take on the Capitals tonight in the final home game of the season. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.